Amen, amen. While our musicians are finding their seats, will you stand with me, please? This morning we covered six of the 12 responses of Christmas that at least I see, and I'm sure that there are more that I've missed, but these stood out to me in my studies. Believe, know, pray, fear not, fear, and consider. And we're going to pick up with number seven this afternoon. So Luke chapter 2, verse 15. Luke chapter 2, verse 15 is where we're going to pick up. We're going to pray, and then we'll read our text together. Everybody ready to go? I don't mean home. I mean the message. Okay. All right. We're going to pray, and we need God to speak to us through his word. This is the word of God, not our words. So let's ask God to speak to us. And I'm going to ask Brother Bill Don, if you would, lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be back in your house this afternoon. We thank you so much for all your blessings. Pray to your Lord that you'll be with each one that's not been able to be with us. Bless them, dear Lord. Help them in their different things they have going on. Pray that those that have been off visiting others, that they'll be brought back safely. Pray to your Lord that as we study your word, we take it. We know, dear Lord, that it's been laid out for us so that we can grow and become more and stronger in your word. And we pray that you would help us to do that. Please bless Brother Isaac. Help him, dear Lord, as he brings this to us. Help him to remember the things you laid on his heart. Pray that you bless him and his family. Dear Lord, pray that you bless all the families and everyone here. Help us that we might be better people, more of the type of people you want us to be. Again, thank you so much for all you've done.
Amen. While you're still standing, Luke chapter 2, verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Amen. Please be seated. Believe is our first response. Know is our second response. Pray, fear not, and then fear, and then consider. And now number seven, come and see. Come and see. When the angels came to the shepherds who were keeping watch over their flocks by night, they told them that they had glad tidings of great joy, which would be to all people, because unto them was born that day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And when the angels appeared and gave glory to God in the highest and all those things, when the angels departed from them, they said, "Let us now go and see." The Bible says that they came with haste. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad. And so I just think there's a Bible principle that we need to come and see. When God shows us something, we go and see. We talked about it a little bit with Mary and her cousin Elizabeth. When the angel told her that Elizabeth was a child, she went there to see it. Amen. She wanted to go see what God had shown her. Now the shepherds, the angels have made something known to them. They want to go and see. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. They said, "Let's go see." And so they came with haste and they saw Jesus. Those blessings are nice to read about, but they're even better to experience. Does that make sense? Listen, I think that Mary believed the angel and she rejoiced that Elizabeth was going to have a baby. But how much better was it when she walked in the room? And John leaped in Elizabeth's womb, and she was filled with the Spirit and gave praise to God. And then Mary, and she gives praise to God. And that great passage of Scripture, her song of praise to God, where she magnifies the Lord. And so that experience was real. It was awesome, no doubt, for the shepherds to be in the field and see the angels. I mean, can you imagine the sky being filled with the angels singing praises to God, the glory of God shining around them? That had to have been an amazing experience. That had to have been an awesome thing. And I'm sure that every time they closed their eyes for some time later, they probably saw that and rejoiced. But listen, when they came and saw Jesus, it was even greater. I mean, they got to see him, Christ, the newborn king, and they got to worship around him. And just going and seeing and experiencing, it's something to hear it, but it's another thing to go and see and experience for themselves. I told you about Simeon a little earlier this morning, and I want to look, if you would, please, Luke chapter 2, verse 22. It says, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Simeon's another one. The Spirit of God had shown, he's filled, a man that was filled with the Spirit. He was devoted to God. He was just, meaning he was a justified man. He was a saved man, and he was filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit had told him that he would see Jesus. The Spirit leads him to go at the temple at the right moment to meet Joseph and Mary and Jesus there. And so because he was listening to the Spirit, because he was Spirit-led, because he was filled with the Spirit and obeying the Spirit, he got to see Jesus. He got to take Jesus up in his arms and praise God for seeing salvation. And I'm just trying to tell you that God's going to show you things. But until we act on those things, we're not going to get to experience the fullness of the blessing. Okay? We're going to have to act on it. What does that mean? It may mean that God is going to put it on your heart to witness to somebody, but if you just have a conviction and you don't follow through, then you're not going to get to experience the blessing that God has in that. It may be that he convicts your heart to read a little more of your Bible or to be here. And if you don't go and see, then you're going to miss out. And I think that there's a lot that he would show us that we need to go and see, but ultimately, it's not just about those experiences as far as going to church or following through with a conviction. Amen. I'm talking about coming and seeing Jesus. Amen. You can't go to a room where Jesus is physically today, but we go to him spiritually. Amen. It all ties together. I know there's overlap, but I'm going to tell you that you can in a very real way come and see Jesus when you pray. Amen. I'm going to tell you that you can in a very real way, you can come and see Jesus when you study the Word. You can come and see Jesus when you hear the preaching of the Word. You can come and see Jesus when you sing his praises. There's those times when we get to experience him because we respond in what we do in obedience to what he's shown us. So number 7 is come and see. Number 8 ties right to it, and it's praise. Look back at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which are told her from the Lord. Elizabeth praised the Lord for Jesus and for Mary. Verse 46, Mary said, "My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty has done great to me great things, and holy is his name. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now you see the praise of Elizabeth, and you see the praise of Mary, and it really just goes on and on, doesn't it? When Zacharias, when John the Baptist was born down at Luke 1:64, his mouth was open and immediately his tongue was loosed and he spake and praised God. Amen. Elizabeth would praise God and Mary would praise God and Zacharias would praise God. And just about everywhere you read in this account, he goes on, Zacharias goes on in verse 68, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercies promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And you'll notice the mix, where it's the mix of prophesying and praising. Like, he's singing a song of praise, but he's also prophesying about what John's going to do and what Jesus came to do. And so Elizabeth and Mary and Zacharias, on and on it goes. If you go to chapter 2 of Luke, down at verse 13, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying," what? What'd they say? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The angels praise God. In verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. We've already seen how Simeon blessed God and praised God. You see how Anna, she came in that instance in verse 38, gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. We just see over and over rejoicing, praising God, glorifying God. And I don't know that there's a more natural response to Christmas than to praise God. I mean, just to give thanks to his holy name. And it doesn't have to be that you have to come to church and sing Christmas hymns. You can give praise to him all the time, everywhere. So sing, praise, glorify his holy name, and give thanks to him. So number 7, come and see. Number 8, praise. And number 9, obey. Number 9, obey. Back in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Be it unto me according to thy word. Do you suppose that Mary was a little scared? I mean, number one, she was scared because an angel was talking to her. Number two, she was scared because she was about to have a baby. She wasn't married. She was espoused, but she hadn't come together with her husband. Like, there are all the things that would be going on in her heart and mind. And she just says, "God, whatever you say, let it be done." Amen. "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." That means that she saw herself as a servant of the Lord. That she saw herself as like a house slave, if you will. She says, I'm yours. I belong to you, God. Your will be done." There was a desire to be obedient to God. And all through these accounts, there are people who are just obedient to God, just willing to do what the Lord says. When the angel came to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. And down at the end, it's around verse 24, Matthew 1, 24. The angel says, Mary's going to have a child. It's the child of the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid to take her as your wife. And when she brings forth a son, he's going to be Emmanuel, God with us. And the Bible says in verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. All the stuff that he said, you need to do this, it's exactly what he did. It's almost like it was just automatic for some of these people. Why? Well, Joseph was a just man. What does that mean? It means he had been justified by faith in God. How was it that these other people were just, that they were right? It's because they had faith in God. They believed the word of God. They'd been made right by God, and so they're quick to obey God. Now, I don't know where the disconnect is with us sometimes, because you're here today, I'm assuming, because you believe in God. You're here because you believe the word of God and you've trusted and your faith is in him. But sometimes we come up against scriptures and we're like, nah, I don't think I'm going to do that. God says, don't do this, and we do it anyway. God's word says, do this, and we fail to do what he calls us to do. And I'm just saying that we need to respond to the fact that God came into the world to save sinners. And our response to the reality of Christmas ought to be to obey what God tells us to do. Amen. And it doesn't matter what it is. D.L. Moody said, the Bible was not given for our information, but for our transformation. Amen. And we're not here this afternoon to just learn something new from the Bible. As a matter of fact, I'm probably not going to tell you anything you've never heard before that you don't already know. Our problem isn't that we don't know enough. Our problem is that we don't obey what we already know. Amen. Amen. So what do we need to do? Well, pray, praise, like all the stuff we're talking about. We have to do it. Amen. We have to do it. Don't be hearers only. Listen, I get it, guys. It's Sunday afternoon. You guys are the Sunday afternoon crowd. You're right? Like, you're here, and you know what the Bible says. But all of us need to do what the Bible says. Everybody that's in the room right now has heard a lot, but we need to be doers of the word, not hearers only. I'm afraid so many times becoming legalistic. I don't want to be legalistic. I don't want to be the kind of pastor who gets you to do what you're supposed to do because I've put you on a guilt trip. I don't think that that's what God wants. Do you think God wants you to do what you're supposed to just because you feel guilty if you don't? No, he wants us to be motivated by love. So I've always got this fear where I'm trying to balance it out. I want to remind you of who he is and what he's done for you so that you'll understand how much he loves you so that you'll love him in return. We love him because, right? But at the same time, like as a pastor, you're trying to tell everybody what the Bible says. And there's just sometimes, to be honest with you, I wish I could go around with my Bible and smack you in the head. I'm just telling you the truth. Like I really do sometimes. I just feel like, what are you doing? You're lining up first, AJ? Okay, all right. Okay, yeah, I'm afraid that's not how it works. Learn by osmosis. That didn't work in studying in school either. Like if I fell asleep with my head on my book, it didn't actually get there. Listen, there are times though that I just want to tell you it's ridiculous. Guys, in our lack of obedience, we're without excuse. Like there really is. And I try to be patient, I try to be kind, and I try to give grace because God's given me immeasurable grace. But some of us, friends, we need to grow up. Amen. We need to take the responsibility that God's given us. We need to stop making excuses, and we need to stop being lazy. Amen. We need to do the things in response to who God is and what he's done. Yes, it needs to be out of love, but we still got to do it, right? Amen. I'm hopeful for 2026. I'm hopeful for God to do great things in our church, in his church that we're a part of. But I'm going to tell you this, it's not going to happen if we don't obey. Amen. Like if we just keep hearing and not doing, nothing's going to change. And if it changes, it's going to get worse. So I would call you, plead with you, beg of you today that you would obey what God teaches you this year. Number 10. Let me give you something that he wants us to do, proclaim. Amen. Back in Luke chapter 1 and verse 65, Luke 1:65. And fear came on all that dwelt around about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. They had a, could you say they had an experience? Like, pretty big experience? Everybody that we're talking about. This is the birth of John the Baptist. This is she who was barren, too old to have kids anymore. This is a miraculous thing. And when people heard about it, they heard that Zacharias had seen an angel. They heard that God had made him mute for all that time. They heard how God opened his mouth immediately on naming the baby John. They heard about all this stuff, and it was noised abroad. Everybody who heard it marveled at it and told somebody else. Amen. And I just, God help us if the gospel becomes so old hat to us that it's not something exciting for us to tell somebody else about. Listen, it still should be as exciting to you as it ever was that God saved you. Amen. That he loves you. Amen. That he's forgiven you. That he's pulled you up out of the pits of hell and giving you everlasting life. That ought to still be as exciting to you and wonderful to you as it's ever been. Amen. But listen, I'm not stupid. I am stupid, but I'm not stupid about this. I've been saved a long time, and I know how hot and cold we run. I know how we get lukewarm. I know how we're not hot or cold. We're just somewhere in the middle. But you know what? God spews us out of his mouth. He hates that. He would rather we were hot or cold. He doesn't want us to be apathetic. He wants us to be on fire for Jesus. And so we go and we proclaim. It was noised abroad. People were telling what God had done. If you go on to chapter 2 in Luke, and verse 17, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. What is that? They went everybody saying, Christ the Savior is born. And they went everywhere telling everybody. They made it known abroad. And down at verse 38, I love Anna. She coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of Jesus, to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She is an old woman, and she's serving God at the temple, and everybody she can that comes around, she's telling them about Jesus. He's a light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of Israel, the Savior of the world, and we ought to go and proclaim the good news everywhere we go. Make it known abroad. Tell everybody. So we obey, we proclaim. Number 11, we worship. Now, I know I already said praise, and I want to try to qualify this. I think that, like I said, you could say a lot of different things, glorifying and rejoicing and praising. I kind of put all those together. But in my understanding, worship is a little bit different. Worship is something that happens here. Praise is something that happens out here. So for me, worship is something that happens in your heart. And yes, it responds in a physical act, but in Matthew 2:2, it says, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, or to come to worship him. We're come to worship him. We know in verse 8 that Herod lies and said, find out where he is and come and tell me, because I want to come and worship him too. Now, did Herod want to go worship him? Everybody shake your head like this. No. Herod wanted to murder him, right? So badly that he murdered all of the boys that were born 2 years old and younger in that entire region. He was an evil, 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 wicked man. Amen. And as always, anybody who wants to murder babies and infants is evil. Amen. Evil. Amen. He didn't really want to worship. But when they found Jesus, they did. In verse 11, when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Amen. They fell down and worshiped him. To worship literally means to ascribe worth to. If you study out the root of it, it's really interesting, but I'm just telling you this, it means to bow down. Amen. They fell down before Jesus and worshiped him. And I want to tell you, we're way too proud. Sometimes in our church, amen, we're way too proud, afraid if I got on my knees in front of God and the church that people would wonder what kind of sin I had in my life. I'm just telling you that we need to be men and women and boys and girls who are humble before the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you this, when you come and see Jesus at the end of your days, when you are before him, you are not going to stand before Jesus.
Amen.
You're going to bow. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess.
Amen.
So why wait? Why be proud?
Amen.
Why not humble ourselves now? They bowed down, they fell on their faces and worshiped him. We have to be humble before our God. And then number 12 is give. They fell on their faces. They fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And I believe that one of the responses we should have to Christmas is to give to the Lord.
Amen.
Now they gave gold and frankincense and myrrh. And maybe this afternoon you're like, well, I don't have any gold. I can barely say frankincense, much less have any. And I don't even know what myrrh is. Well, that's what they had. I think there's some beautiful symbolism here. I think gold recognizes Jesus as king. Frankincense was burned. And I think it's a picture of prayer. It pictures Jesus as God. They were acknowledging him as God. And myrrh was a burial spice. It was used for burial. And I think they were acknowledging the fact that Messiah was going to come and die. Whether they understood all that or not, I don't know, but it's a beautiful picture that's right there in the text that we can see. But here's what I do know. We should give what we have to Jesus. We talk about it a lot, our time, our talents, and our treasures. We give of our time, our talents, and our treasures to the Lord. What I have, I want to give to him. My time, I want to devote my life to Jesus. My talents, the abilities that he has given me for his glory. And I want to serve him with the abilities that I have. And my treasures, I do want to give to the Lord as he's prospered me, as he's blessed me. I want to give back to him and to his work. So what do we need to do? Believe, know, pray. Fear not, but fear. Consider, come and see, praise, obey, proclaim, worship, and give. So let me try to condense it down into just a few things maybe we can remember. First, believe the word of God.
Amen.
Believe the word of God. Next, worship and obey the king. Worship and obey the king.
Amen.
And last, proclaim his glad tidings everywhere to everyone. Proclaim his glad tidings. I love it the way it's worded, don't you? Glad tidings of great joy,
Amen.
Which shall be to all people. And I'm so glad that he brought those glad tidings to my life. Little bitty towns in Oklahoma.
Amen.
He brought the gospel to us.
Amen.
Glad tidings of great joy. And we rejoice and we want to proclaim that good news to others. Father in heaven, I thank you for all who have gathered this afternoon. We do pray for those that are not here. Whatever's keeping them away, please help. Heal, give safe travels, and work in the hearts of all of us, Lord. I pray as we finish out this year, we'll respond the right way to Christmas, that you sent Jesus to become one of us, to die for all of us, to save everyone who believes. And Father, I pray that you'll help us as we come into the new year, that we will be obedient to your word, that by your grace and the power of your spirit, we will live for the one who died for us and rose again. Please forgive us. Please help us. We pray that you'll be with all of the many prayer requests that have been voiced today and those unspoken requests, the burdens on people's hearts, that you'll help in all those needs. Please forgive us and help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.